The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring an interview with the Beis Chabad Torah Center of West Bloomfield, Rabbi Schneer Silverberg. He's going to talk to us about the significance of the shofar. He's actually running something called the Shofar Factory this afternoon at the JCC in West Bloomfield, and therefore we're going to consider him an expert. Later on in the show, we're going to actually pick up, get some live action as what's happening with the pitch in Detroit down at Belle Isle that's going on right now. We're going to talk to Josh Cantor. We'll have some wonderful music, of course. It is the portion of Nitzavim Vayelech, coming up before Rosh Hashanah, of course. And an awesome Hasidic story. I mean, really want to stay to the end. This is an awesome story. I just like went, wow, when I read this story. Before we do anything else, we're going to blow a shofar to get us ready to Rosh Hashanah. And before and after that, go right to the news. Four rockets were fired at northern Israel, damaging seven houses and several cars in Nahariya and Acker. At least one rocket was intercepted by an Iron Dome anti-missile battery. Israel responded by firing one artillery round, which destroyed a cannon believed to be the source of the attack, and sent in a sortie of IAF aircraft to on a bombing mission. Israeli troops killed one terrorist and wounded one other during an operation in Jenin. Security forces went there to arrest Islamic Jihad terrorist Bassam Saadi when shots were fired and explosives and rocks were thrown at the troops. Two soldiers were injured by stones. Two Iranians were convicted in a Thailand court for plotting a bomb attack on Israeli diplomats in Bangkok. Saidi Moradi was sentenced to life in prison, and Mohammed Kharzi was given 15 years. Egypt closed the Rafah crossing between the Sinai Peninsula and Gaza Monday afternoon following an attack that killed 24 members of the Egyptian security forces close to the Egyptian side of the crossing. Two buses carrying policemen were the target of the attack. Israel and Egyptian security leaders met in Cairo in response to the attack to discuss the rise in terrorist activities in the Sinai. It is estimated that several thousand terrorists have relocated to the Sinai since the military takeover of the Egyptian government. Israel will supply intelligence to Egypt and help prevent terrorist activities. The U.S. is giving the Palestinian Authority $148 million. President Obama waived restrictions set by Congress on sending money to the PA in order to bolster the PA leadership after it resumed talks with Israel. Since 1994, the year that followed the signing of the Oslo Accords that created the Palestinian Authority, the PA has received about $4.3 billion. Charges were filed in a Jerusalem district court charging 19-year-old Sultan Abu Humus and 18-year-old Mahmoud Rajbi of Isawiya of stabbing attack on Moshe Lemieux near the Damascus Gate to Jerusalem's Old City as Lemieux made his way home from evening services at the end of the Tisha B'Av fast in August. Another Arab was also involved in the attack. Stay tuned for further details. Israel began a nationwide campaign to inoculate children with polio boosters after a rare discovery of the virus in the south that began spreading north. It is believed that African refugees are transporting the virus. There have been no clinical cases of polio infecting children, thank God. An area collapsed near the western part of the Alaska Mosque on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, causing a large sinkhole. It is the second collapse near the Western Wall in 5 years. Palestinian accused Israel of trying to destroy the Alaska Mosque, of course. Interesting turn of events. Brigadier General Yitzhar Punduk was promoted to Major General on his 100th birthday. That's news right there. They got a 100th birthday, and he's still getting his promotion. This was 59 years after then IDF Chief of Staff Moshe Dayan promised Punduk the promotion. Punduk was, because of, you know, bureaucratic things, you know how Israel is. It used to be, you stick 4 years to get a phone. So this guy waited 59 years to get promoted from general to brigadier general. Punduk was the commander of the Givati Brigade during Israel's War of Independence. And finally, always nice to end off on a good note, a field outside Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion International Airport was the scene of a rare sighting of 10,000 butterflies, which created the appearance of a white cloud. Dubi Binyamini, a chairman of the Israeli Lepidopterist Society, said that he's never seen such a thing in 60 years of studying butterflies, and I never knew there was such a thing as a lepidopterist. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We are on live with Rabbi Shneur Zalman, who is a rabbi at the Chabad Torah Center in West Bloomfield. How are you today, Shneur?
Doing well, thank God. It's an honor to be on your show.
It is indeed a pleasure. How are your lepidoptery skills there before we get into chauffeur?
I guess learning something new every day, right?
Yeah, indeed. If you don't learn, why are you here? Okay, speaking of learning, we blew chauffeur as a, like I tell people, to get us in the mood for Rosh Hashanah. And the big thing on Rosh Hashanah is the hearing of the shofar blowing. So could you tell us, Rabbi Shneur, what's so significant of the shofar, the ram's horn?
Right. Well, you mentioned that we blow it on Rosh Hashanah, and that's true. And that's when we have the biblical obligation to blow it. The custom, though, is we've been blowing the shofar now, as you just did. We've been since the beginning of the Hebrew month of Elul. In other words, the final 30 days counting down to Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar as well. So the custom or the Torah obligation of blowing the shofar can be understood on many levels, as is the case in many areas of our tradition, and on its most basic level, and then there is obviously the more mystical understanding of this obligation as well.
So, oh, good. We got lots of time. Let's hear. We got lots of time.
Okay. The most basic reason for this is simply because that's what it says in the Torah. The Torah in the book of Numbers, chapter 29, verse number 1, it says that on the seventh month, on the first of the month, shall be a holiday for you, and the day of sounding the teruah, a day of sounding the teruah, which is a blowing of a horn. So on its most basic level, this is what we would call in Hebrew a gzeirat hakatuv, which is a biblical obligation, which we follow whether we understand it or not, whether we appreciate it or not. This is the obligation on Rosh Hashanah, which is considered to be the seventh month of the year, despite the fact that it's the day celebrating the creation of mankind. It is the seventh month because we count to the months on a different schedule. So we have a Torah obligation which says the shofar should be blown. However, Maimonides goes on to say that despite the fact that this is an obligation from God, from the Torah, which we follow whether we understand or not, there seems to be, Maimonides says, there are various messages and inspirational messages that the shofar is intended to give us. And he says on its most basic level, the idea is it's a wake-up call. And he literally says it's waking people up to remind them of the importance of this day. Remember your Creator, return to your Creator. This is the day of judgment. It's actually Rosh Hashanah begins a 10-day period of judgment, and it's like an alarm clock. It's an alarm clock waking us up to remind us of the importance of the moments and time we are in.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. From the verse, it doesn't seem, though, that it has to be obligation. What seems to be important is the sound, but not the ram's horn. Everybody says shofar, everybody thinks ram's horn, you know. So can I use a trumpet?
Okay, so it's a great question. The truth is that there are many different horns which are kosher for use. We do say the blowing of the horn, and we have various times in the Torah and in the prophets afterwards where it describes the blowing of horns. So typically we use a ram's horn. The reason for a ram's horn is because the ram's horn reminds us also of another event in our history, which is the binding of Isaac, when Abraham was tested with the binding of his son Isaac. And after the binding of Isaac, when God told him that you are not intended to bring your son as a sacrifice, it says a moment later he noticed there was a ram stuck in the brush, and he brought that ram as a sacrifice. So this is intended to be, by using a ram's horn to blow, to use as the shofar, it's a reminder of that event as well.
So we're kind of like telling God, you owe us one because of that one.
Yes, and as well as reminding us of our ability to have self-sacrifice and our connection to God. But what's the truth is, despite the fact that may be the ideal shofar to use, the Jewish law allows for many animal horns to be used. One of the, perhaps the most important requirement is that it is a naturally hollow horn, as opposed to, say, the horn of an ox, which is not necessarily hollow, and it has to be hollowed out. I just saw an interesting story. There is a shofar on display at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And the story behind the shofar is there was a man in one of the concentration camps in a city of in Poland. I think the city is Skarzysko-Kamenia. This
okay,
man, whose name was Moshe Winterter, and he wanted to have the shofar blown, so he bribed a Polish guard from the camp to arrange a horn. And the Polish guard came back, and the horn that he brought back was the horn of an ox. So he had to go through the whole process again, bribing again to bring the horn of a ram. They brought the horn, which, despite the fact that had they been caught with it, there would have been certain death, they blew the horn, and many of the inmates gathered around to hear the shofar blown that year, Rosh Hashanah, which obviously was not a requirement, considering that it was a life-threatening situation, and one is not required to blow the shofar in a circumstance where one is putting their life on the line for it. But it tells you how precious the mitzvah of shofar is, that we have this story, as well as countless others, of people putting their lives on the line to hear the shofar.
Okay, how difficult? You're running the shofar factory this afternoon. In fact, we're calling it the Cheryl Berman Shofar Factory Festival.
Right.
It's a real fancy title. How difficult is it to make a ram's horn into a shofar, Rabbi Schneur Silverberg?
Okay, well, the Shofar Factory Festival taking place today is really we allow children and adults alike to do the final steps in preparing the shofar. Actually, we are not using a ram's horn. We're using the simpler version, which is the easiest version to get in bulk, which is a goat's horn. And much of the work has been done before.
The hard, disgusting part is already done.
Yes. The cooking of the horns, which allows you to take out all the garbage, which is on the inside of the horn.
The gook.
And then after the cooking, we also do part of the process of the cutting, So it's really the final step. It's not that difficult, but it's something. The final steps are quite simple, which is drilling the hole to make the mouthpiece, as well as polishing the shofar. And by the way, speaking of the shofar factory, we spoke about various horns. There's also a fascinating display of exotic horns, some of which are kosher for use as shofars, some of which are not, which will be on display there as well.
Mm-hmm. Could you use a rhinoceros horn?
Actually, I've been told that the rhinoceros horn is not a horn at all.
Oh, really?
It's considered to be a nail.
Oh, okay.
Like a fingernail, so that's not even, doesn't even go into that category.
Uh-huh.
Another interesting reason we spoke about the horn of a bull, of an ox. So another explanation which is brought down by the Talmud is that the prosecuting attorney can't act as the defendant. And the ram's, the horn of an ox or of a cow serves as prosecution because it may be a reminder for the sin of the golden calf. So we shouldn't be using that same horn as a horn to indicate our repentance and our return to God.
Uh-huh, fascinating. Because of the relationship with the golden calf, we can't use a bull's horn. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
You mentioned at the onset of some mystical insights that go with the blowing of the shofar. Could you share some of those with us, Rabbi Schneur Silverberg?
Sure. The horn, what's interesting is we talk about the Judaism is filled with different opportunities of prayer, many beautiful words in prayer. I mean, the high holidays are fast approaching, and you will open a machzor, which is the prayer book designated for either Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, and you'll see pages upon pages filled with beautiful poems and prayers. And yet, the shofar, which seems to be the highlight, the most important part of the high holiday service, is not a prayer at all. It's there are no words. It is simply a simple sound, and one would assume that the prayers would have far more importance than the simple blowing of a horn. But according to the Jewish mysticism, Jewish philosophy, it is our belief that the truth is that at the core of every human being, there is a holiness which is deeper, and regardless of our actions, there is a purity and holiness and connection to God, which in at that place in our soul, we are really inseparable from God. And that place of our soul, that part of us, is beyond description and beyond expression. So we can't really express it. There are no words which would be able to express that holiness, that core, that connection that we have with God. I think similarly we can relate to this in any very serious, a very major emotion, whether it's an emotion of love, an emotion of fear, an emotion of pain. We say no words can express my happiness. No words can express my pain. What we mean is that this pain and this love is so deeply rooted in what I'm going through, so deeply rooted in my soul that I can't express it. It's too deep for expression. And the same is true. This perhaps is one of the secrets to the shofar. The shofar, which is a simple sound, is intended to be the call of the soul. And this call of the soul at its core can't be expressed even in words of prayer. And we believe when we blow the shofar, the point of hearing the shofar is not just to fulfill it robotically, as in this has to be done, so this is what I should do, but rather to meditate and to concentrate and think that at this moment I am tapping into that part of my soul, that part of my connection with God, which transcends words, and that connection to God, which is inseparable. And by connecting to it, hopefully it's not just a momentary connection, but that momentary connection affects my behavior, affects the more external elements of my soul, my thoughts, speech, and action, and my regular behavior throughout the year.
So we're saying that the effect of the shofar blowing should be an ongoing thing to get us like through the year. Would that be a correct assessment, Rabbi Schneur?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And just as the, you made a point that the shofar, the truth is the shofar, and by extension, the high holiday experience, which is the holiest, one would say the 10 holiest days of the year, starting with Rosh Hashanah and going to through Yom Kippur, which is 10 days later, should have an effect on the remainder of the year. And the truth is that just as it should have an impact later on, it is also something which is necessary to prepare for, which is why I said earlier we blow the shofar beforehand, even though it's not a Torah obligation, but it's a month of preparation. I like to compare, you know, in the Rosh Hashanah prayers as well as the Yom Kippur prayers, one of the highlights is the prayer in which we say, Barosh Hashanah yikatevun uviyom tzom kippur yechatemun. On Rosh Hashanah it is written, and on Yom Kippur it is sealed, it is signed and sealed, who will live and who will die, who will be wealthy and who will lose their wealth. And if we are to take those words literally, and we are, it means that Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate judgment day, the ultimate day in court, the day in which we are judged on life itself. And today, if anyone had any sort of serious court case, even a minor court case, no one in their right mind would wake up the morning of the court case and walk into court and say, okay, now let me prepare my thoughts. Let me think about how I'm going to present my case. In any court case, you spend weeks, perhaps months in advance preparing, working on exactly how you are going to present your side, how are you going to argue your merits. And if that's the case with regards to any court case, then the ultimate court case, the judgment of life and death, which happens on Rosh Hashanah and continues through Yom Kippur, requires sincere and serious preparation.
Well, there's really a lot there. Indeed. Okay, yeah. tell us more, the Cheryl Berman Shofar Factory Festival. What's going on there this afternoon, Rabbi Schneur Silverberg?
So what began as a shofar factory started 5 years ago, in which we just brought in shofars and had the, again, adults and children prepare them, depending on the age, that's how much we allow them to do, really expanded into something much more. And it really became like a Jewish art festival, which is why we call it the festival. There's the option of making the shofar. We also have the option this year of learning how to make the tzitzit, the fringes on the corner of the talit. There's the option to make a holiday candle. And then there's entertainment and all sorts of fun and delicious kosher food.
I say food, of course, right?
Of course. Can't be an event without food.
Can't have an event without
and,
food.
And it's really give a very it's a partnership which we have with the Beis Chabad Torah Center, the Sarah and Morris Taugman Beis Chabad Torah Center, together with Shalom Street and the Janis Charik Art Gallery, and generously funded by Michael Berman in honor of his late wife, Cheryl Berman.
Wonderful.
So it's a real great day of fun, starting at 12:30 and going through 4 o'clock.
This afternoon.
And there's no charge.
At the JCC in West Bloomfield, corner of Maple and Drake, yes. And I see you have a giant moon bounce. It says bounces. You have more than one giant moon bounce?
I believe there will be two.
Wow. So you can get your choice.
That's right.
Fire
That's
twirlers, right. Petting zoo, face painting, tzitzis twisting, and through the Israeli exhibit at Shalom Street, right. Exotic animal horn display, a beekeeper with live bees, 100% safe. And, of course, it's all kosher and free. The show.
At one point you made, there's also a scribe who will show people how to write with a quill and ink as the Torah is written. You get to write your name
Wow.
with a quill and ink as a scribe does.
And so,
lots that can be done.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Schneur Silverberg of the Beis Chabad Torah Center of West Bloomfield and the Cheryl Berman Shofar Factory today from 12:30 to 4 o'clock at the JCC in West Bloomfield. We wish you a happy and a healthy, and it should be a good Gibench to your, and all the best for this upcoming next year.
Thank you to you as well.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have, for your listening pleasure, this is actually a request from a person by the name of Sarah, calling from Bloomfield Hills, who listens to the show on WLQV 1500 on your AM dial. She wanted to hear Avram Fried, and she specifically asked, I like it when it gets really challenging, when they ask for specifics, and I have to go deep into the bowels of the Jewish Hour CD archive and pull up Kaylee Atta, You Are My God, and this is just for you, sir.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Hey, Shulton, I hear you're listening to the Jewish Hour. I cannot get anything past you. Last week, we did not play any klezmer music. By Sunday night, had 36 pieces of, I wouldn't call them exactly hate mail or threatening letters, but whoa, I got to mind my P's and Q's. So for all of you who wrote in to me, contacted me at rabbifinman.com at the contact page, requesting that I indeed adhere to my gold standards of playing klezmer music at least one song a week, we've got for you, this is Yitzhak Perlman in the Fiddler's House, and we're close enough to it, we're almost within a month of Simchas Torah, so this song's called Simchas Torah.
Der Rebbe mit uns geknallt. Hoi, oi, 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 freilich Kinder aus der Zoi, endlich fahren von alle Zeck, freilich von der Neck. Hoi, Gott, ich bin ein Narren Jivel und es tat mir gut der Moi, Simches Teure, sing ich ein Lied und mach ein guter Geißer. Leben im Simchas Teure, wer's nicht freilich sogar allein.
Oi, 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 freilich Kinder, was das soll, trenn mich von allen Seen, freilich von an Eck.
Sie ist freilich wie wir die Gassin, sie ist freilich mit mir die Stieb, teurer Taste, wer ist genossen, Leben, so ist das Leben ist lieb.
Simchas Teure von Gott am Tonne soll uns Tomit heilig sein. A viele Gescheren mit der Levone sein. Wir gar nicht trinken Wein.
Oi, 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 freilich Kinder und der Säu. Denn wir kommen von allen Seen, freilich von an Eck. Oi, 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 freilich Kinder und der Säu. Denn wir kommen von allen Seen, freilich von an Eck.
Freilich von an Eck. Oi, 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 freilich Kinder Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Rachel Feldman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on live at the event. This is, we got Josh Cantor from Next Gen, who's down at Pitch in Detroit, going on right now at Belle Isle. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing very well today. How are you doing?
Good, thank God. Great weather. How are the festivities? You've been there since 8 o'clock this morning. What's going on?
Yeah, it's been a long day. Everyone's really excited. We've got a great turnout out today. We've got over 150 players who are competing in a charity softball tournament today through Next Gen Detroit at the Jewish Federation of Metro Detroit. We're down at Belle Isle. We've been here all day, and it's been a really great community turnout for a very good cause.
Cool. Is there anything left to see? It's almost 12 o'clock right now. How long will festivities be going on down there?
So we're going to be playing baseball, playing softball probably up until around 5 o'clock is the championship game. We're just getting lunch underway right now. We've got Jerusalem Pizza catering a kosher lunch. So if you're down by the area, please feel free. The event is free and open to the public to stop on in. Lunch will probably go up until 2 o'clock.
Okay. And what is the proceeds of this Pitch in Detroit benefiting, please, Josh Cantor?
Yeah, so all the proceeds from today's fundraiser are going to go towards the Do It for Detroit Fund, which is an opportunity to engage young adults throughout Metro Detroit in meaningful and high-impact service opportunities in the city with community organizations that are doing really impactful and beneficial work to the community. So every player who actually played in the tournament was tasked with raising $180 for the Do It for Detroit Fund. So it's a real community effort, and everyone's having a great time so far today. So it's a real feel-good moment.
Okay, great. We're going to let you get back to the work, and hopefully we'll get a chance to get down there ourselves, and we'll shake your hand personally.
Really appreciate it, Rabbi Finman. We'll take it easy. Have a great day, and hopefully we'll see you down here soon.
Okay, take care. That's Josh Cantor again. That's at Pitch in Detroit going on now at Belle Isle. It's a community softball game, and I was actually told that the championship game will start about 3:30 and hopefully should be over by 5. So they're going to be out by 5 o'clock. And it's definitely something worth doing if it's a beautiful day. Let's see in the neighborhood. Let's go pitch in for Detroit. We got more music. One more song. This is Schlock Rock. This is the week before Rosh Hashanah, of course. And one of the major things that we do on Rosh Hashanah is pray. So here's Schlock Rock's version. I got a tefillah. I got a prayer.
That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet, sweet year. A tefillah. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet, sweet year. A tefillah. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet, sweet year. A tefillah. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet, sweet year.
Just shout, God's in control. cause I've got a feeling that this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet, sweet year. A tefillah. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet year. That this year's gonna be a sweet, sweet year.
The book of life, hey, is written up. Apples and honey, honey, let's sweeten up. A time for judgment, mercy, Almighty God.
Almighty God,
just blow that shofar. Let's lift it up. The kid is tough, hey, shout out to we are for praying.
Feel it, feel
your
it.
Ticket up. The rain comes down.
Pray around.
To all around.
We're all around.
Let's learn the proof.
And then we'll pray once again.
We're Jewish, we're Jewish, we're Jewish, we're Jewish,
we're Jewish,
we're Jewish.
Let's lift it up and Jewish,
and Jewish,
and Jewish,
Jewish, Jewish,
we're Jewish,
and Jewish,
and Jewish,
Jewish, Jewish, Jewish.
Here did come, here did go. God is our rock.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Nitzavim Vayelech. It can be found where we're really at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 and following, chapter 29 and following of the book of Deuteronomy. The portion is always read the week before Rosh Hashanah. This is week is the 31st of August, and Rosh Hashanah, of course, is next week. Next week will be our pre-Rosh Hashanah show. And by the way, we will be featuring Arthur Horowitz of the Jewish News. When we always do the last show of the year before Rosh Hashanah, we always do a year in review. Was this a good year for the Jews? And Arthur Horowitz was very insightful. He's the publisher of the Jewish News. Lots to do there, and it'll be thought-provoking and very entertaining. He's a very entertaining person, and I totally recommend that you tune in next week for sure. Anyway, so Nitzavim Vayelech was read the week prior. The idea of Parshas Nitzavim is always read before Rosh Hashanah. Not that necessarily it was set up that way. It was set up that last week's portion, Kisavo, should be read 2 weeks before. So if this week's portion comes after, it means that this week's portion is going to read, Nitzavim is going to be read before Rosh Hashanah. Vayelech, which is the second half of the portion, is sometimes read
right before Yom Kippur. Sometimes the portion is split, and it would be that, for example, if Rosh Hashanah fell out on a Tuesday, so there would be a Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and so they'd need an extra portion for the Torah reading. They split Netzav and Vayelech. So we see that there's something going on, that the correlation really between Rosh Hashanah and Netzavim and Vayelech and Yom Kippur. I'm not going to worry so much about the Yom Kippur part, because it works also for Rosh Hashanah as well. It says, the portion starts, Atam Netzavim Hayom Kulchem Hayom. You are standing this day, all of you together. And our sages say, when it says today, it means Rosh Hashanah, as it says, Hayom Hadras Olam, today is the birthday of the world. The same word, Hayom, today, is used in both. That means to indicate and to say that on Rosh Hashanah, there is a unification of the Jews. We are standing before God, all is one. And it mentions them there. 10 different levels, leaders, heads of tribes, the governors, all the important, the big shots, all the way down to the janitorial staff. Everybody, as far as the Almighty stands at that point, it does not matter what your social security number is to God, and your status in life, and how many numbers you have in your bank account, because any number compared to God is insignificant. And so a person who has nothing and a person who has everything, they're all the same as far as God is concerned. And we're standing now in a prepared state, accepting God as King. We talked a whole lot about the shofar today, because it's a mitzvah. It's a commandment, one of the 613, to hear the shofar being blown on September 5th and 6th coming up. And you don't have to be in synagogue if you know how to do it yourself. You get somebody to blow it for you. It doesn't suffice if you hear it on the telephone or some YouTube. It has to be live, in person, not even through a microphone. It has to be straight sound of the shofar, because it doesn't say listen to the sound of a microphone. It says listen to the sound of the shofar specifically. But that's as Rabbi Schneer indicated, a means to an end. What we're trying to accomplish on Rosh Hashanah is a recoronation of the Almighty. We are accepting God as King again, because it's a new year. We're coming up to 5774. There's a new godliness that's going to come down on the morning of September the 5th. A godliness, a godly revelation, which has heretofore never been experienced in the world. It'll be much better than last year's. That's why we're notice the numbers are going up. This year's 5773. Next year's 5774. It's new and improved. Greater bells and whistles. All the newest features. And we've got to be there to say, you know what, God, we're willing to accept it. We're going to take it and we're going to use it to its fullest, use it out, so that by next year, when Rosh Hashanah will fall out, I believe, on April the 21st, if I'm not mistaken, September the 21st, we will have totally and completely used up all the godliness that God has appropriated for us on September the 5th, just like this year. We are in the process. We're in the last days. This is now a time when we're like serious preparation, getting ready for the holiday. But then there's Vayelech. Vayelech is indicating a unification above. Moses, at this point, was saying, I'm going up. This is like the last day of my life. And the emphasis in Vayelech is not the Tachton, not down here, not the unification of the Jewish people, but the unification within God. We know, we have this expression, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It is a focal point in the prayers. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Got there mentioned there the three different names of God, Lord, our God, and Lord. But they're all one. There's a unification there, even though every name, I say, is like a function of how the Almighty relates to us. Well, we're in this time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, specifically coming up. We relate to God in a way which goes beyond any name. A name is just a label. If you remember way back when in the CB age, everybody, Ben, did you have a Citizens Band radio way back when? Nope, he's shaking his head no. So did you have a car back during the Citizens Band day? No, also not. So do you remember Citizens Band? No, also not. He doesn't know. Do you know what I'm talking about? No, he doesn't know what a Citizens Band. They preceded cell phones. And people had these things in their car. It was even before this, the car phone. It was a two-way radio. Actually, it was a public radio band. And people would be listening to like very had different channels. And if anybody was on the same channel, well, you could talk to them in through this radio. CB radio, that's what I'm saying. Citizens Band. CB stands for... Fair enough. It's like my kids have no idea that CD stands for compact disc, you know. So, okay, fair enough. Okay, fair enough. So we are during this time. It's like we're all. It's like this in the CB talk. The word handle was like, how do I relate to you? During this upcoming time now, we're not relating to God with a handle. We got the whole pot, you might say. It's essence to essence. Not even the pot. It's what's in the pot. It's what's inside us. It's what's inside the pot. Relating one to one. And that's what we're trying to do right now. And what we have to do right now is back out graciously for our last commercial pitch and coming back with this really, this story almost made me cry. You want to stay tuned for it. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Harry Schulfinman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. My board op, Ben, told me that indeed he knows what a CB is and does have, actually owns one. I haven't seen one of those since 1979. Vintage. Ooh. You know, so... Anyway, you want to get in touch with me? The way to do that, go to rabbifinman.com. You'll find archive editions of the show, which hopefully will be posted sometime today. If I get a chance to do it by the time that I get a chance to do it, when you know I have to wait for the electronics to kick in to be able to actually post it. And if I'm not already down at Pitch in Detroit, down on Belle Isle, if not, it'll be up for sure tomorrow, the day after, sure. And it stays up for about a month, and you'll be able to hear all of the things that we've been discussing today and all the things we've been discussing on the show for about the last month, because they're still posted up there. You have archived editions of the You Parsha and the Hasidic You Story, which are videos of yours truly with insights of the portion and Hasidic stories. And there's the E-Parsha, which is a written missive of insight into the portion and another different story, because everything's always different because we want to keep you entertained. In addition, if you keep on doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, then you tune out and you turn me off. And we can't have that. You'll also find the very important donations page. Rosh Hashanah is sort of like the cutoff time, the fiscal new year. So you've got to give away 10% of your income. Check, take a look, see how you're doing. Anything extra, give some of it to the Jewish Hour. We are a charitable organization. We are listener supported. We're only here because of you at this point. We do have sponsors, but for the most part, The Jewish Hour is listener supported. We appreciate your efforts and your endeavors to keep the show on now in its 18th year. We've been on the show going 18 years, and we haven't been able to do it if it wouldn't have been for you. So go right now. Go to the computer, rabbifinman.com. Don't like using computers for your credit cards? I can understand. Send your donation to, and reminder, any amount, to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And of course, your donation will be graciously acknowledged. About 200 years ago, there was a very famous rabbi by the name of Mordechai of the town of Hornsteipel. He was called the Hornsteipler Rebbe, and Hornsteipel is located many, many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. it once happened that he had a very serious infection. And the way that they treated these infections at that time was through a process known as cauterizing. And what they would do is the doctor would take a fireplace iron, and those things that you kind of like poke around the ashes and the wood and whatnot, he had it broken. He would take this iron and he would stick it in the fire until it was glowing hot. And then he would put it on the wound. And this supposedly would cure the infection. If it didn't kill the guy, I mean, you know, hello from shock. So the doctor explained to the rabbi that it's a very painful procedure. And usually we have to tie people down for it because if you move, we'll burn the wrong part and we have to do the thing again. The rabbi said, it won't be necessary. I will lie still. He said, are you sure? He said, guaranteed. The doctor went through the procedure. The rabbi didn't move. The doctor was amazed. He told one of the attendants to the rabbi off to the side. He said, I don't understand. I had a Cossack in here, big, huge guy, strong like an ox, come in here. As soon as we tied him down, as soon as I touched his skin, he just broke all the restraints and jumped out the window and ran away. It was so painful. How is it that this rabbi, probably not the strongest of individuals physically, was able to withstand such pain? And the rabbi heard him and said, listen, believe me, when a Jew comes to me and pours out the troubles that weigh down his heart, when he so desperately needs help and there is no way to help him, that pain burns more fiercely within me than even that burning hot poker. That's going to do it. I'm going to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope your preparation for Rosh Hashanah goes really well, and we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
Rachamim toshu del Yerushalayim yirecho vel Yerushalayim yirecho.